Our first reading today is found in the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I'll be starting reading in verse 15. The Lord speaks to his people as they are about to enter into the promised land. He says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord has swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Our second reading today is found in the 119th chapter of Psalms. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, and each stanza begins with an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet, and each and every verse, it's a couplet, there are two, a parallelism, will say something about the ordinances or commands of the Lord. "Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me." There's one more, but it is to come. So you'll know. If you hear another scripture, we will be approaching the end. I know you've heard that many times and you've questioned whether I actually ever mean that. Freedom, it's not just another word for nothing left to lose. I can't help it. I'm a child of the 60s. I grew up listening to rock and roll. Janis Joplin, one of my favorites. Freedom is sometimes troublesome for us. Because when we are free to make decisions, we are free to make bad decisions. If you follow the scripture from Deuteronomy, and we're going to actually end up in Matthew, you will see some gradual changes about how God presents God's self and also the challenges to people. When you just read Deuteronomy, it sounds a little bit scary. God is saying, "I put these two things before you, and they are about as far apart from one another as possible to get. Life and death, blessing and curse." And it really is very hard for people who primarily turn to the New Testament for words of comfort and hope to think about God offering curses along with blessings. But you have to keep in mind that the whole process of what got us from that point to this point required A, bringing together a people and presenting them with the idea that there is a God who cares about them and that he is the one true God. Now, you may not think about it in these terms, but when Deuteronomy is written, or at least when the oral tradition behind Deuteronomy first came to be, the people did not believe that their God was the only God. He was simply their God who cared about them above all people, and that he had chosen them. But they still believed that there were other gods out there, and the temptation that was going to face them when they came into the promised land was whether or not the God who had promised them that land, the God who had led them into battle in that land, the God who had given them victory over those who already lived there, was the same God that would sustain them and be for them when it came time to plant crops and raise them up. Because their new neighbors, and this is a kind of a warning for us, we don't ever know what kind of neighbors we're going to have. Because we may get great neighbors, we may get loud neighbors, we may get neighbors that just are not very easy to get along with. You don't know. But when the Israelites went in, the neighbors they were going to have were people that would say to them, look, we know that Yahweh has given you victory. We know that your God is a mighty God in battle. But if you want your crops to come up, then you ought to pay attention to our God, Baal, for he is the God that makes sure that the corn comes up and the wheat waves in the fields and that the produce of the land will always be there. And the Old Testament is that continuing battle between those two thoughts. Now, by the time the psalmist comes along, he is reminding people that there are commandments and laws and ordinances given to us, and they are for a reason. And the reason is that they ultimately are for our own good. You see, sometimes we need reminders that the law is not a harsh taskmaster. And rather, it is, if we will allow it, a gentle guiding hand. Now, sometimes, if we look at the way the world is, and we see who prospers and who doesn't prosper, we question that. And there's nothing new about that because the psalmist did the same thing. They said, we look out and see that the wicked prosper, and we are struggling. I don't know if this is the wicked prospering or not, but I read in the paper today that if Aaron Rodgers comes back to Green Bay next year, they will pay him $59 million. I wish he could get a decent haircut. Chuck and I could give him some guidance, couldn't we? To me, that's just an unimaginable amount of money. And it is simply the capstone on a contract that have paid him already hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, I don't know Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying he's a wicked person. But you look at those kind of things and you wonder sometimes. But then I think sometimes of the lessons that I've learned. I have been taught all my life, and by and large, especially since I became serious about being a Christian, I've tried to be as honest as I can be. Sometimes, my wife says, to the point of absurdity, like if I find a penny on the ground, look around to see if I can find who it might belong to. But sometimes it is its own reward. This past week, I went out to check the mail one day, and there on the ground in front of our mailbox was a package from Amazon. Well, I wasn't expecting a package from Amazon. So I picked it up, it was about this big in a plastic bag, and the address was my address, but the name was not my name. So it's like, what am I going to do? I don't know what address to look for. We have neighbors on either side of us that are multi-housing things. Am I going to go knock on all those doors and say, do you know somebody that doesn't know your address that sent you mail? And so I got online and said, what do you do when this happens to you? And Amazon said, just keep it. It'll work out. So I opened it to see what it was. And it was a little box like this. And it had a little slip of paper. And it said, happy birthday from uncle and aunt. It had their names and then all their kids. And I thought, this is sad. And in the box, and then I turned it over, and you could tell, looking at the back of the box, it was a gift card. Well, there's no way that I'm going to take that. So I find the number, which, trust me, you have to work at to find a number to call Amazon, and called Amazon and spent about 5 minutes talking to a chatbot saying, "No, no, that's not what I said." And finally getting a living person, I explained the situation to him, and he said, "Just keep it and we'll notify the sender." Well, okay, I have done my due diligence. I've been honest. I didn't take it on my own. And I thought, well, this is nice. So I rubbed off the back and went to my Amazon account and put in the number, thinking, a birthday card, maybe $10, maybe $25. I want an uncle like this, $100 gift card. Honesty, in that case, was its own reward. I'd like to say it always worked out that way. It doesn't. But in that case, it did. But if you think about the laws of God being things that ultimately are helpful to us, one of the things that in about being honest is if you always tell the truth. Now, keep in mind, not dumb things like if your wife says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" There is no good answer for a question like that. So we're not talking about that kind of thing. Or what do you think of my hair? I've had ladies come up to me at church. "Well, Pastor, you didn't comment on the change in my hair." How do I know? Maybe you meant to go gray, or maybe you meant to have that look. There's no way I can figure these things out. So my default position is to not comment on those sorts of things, because when you do, trouble goes down beyond that. We had a mailman when we lived in Whitefish Bay who had the same route for years. And he asked one lady, she came to the door and he handed her mail. And he said, "When's the baby due?" And she said, "I'm not pregnant." Sometimes better just to keep your mouth shut. But if you always tell the truth, then you don't ever have to stop to think who you're talking to, because you don't have to change your story. You stick to it. You are who you are. And if your word is your bond, and that is probably the lesson that my father taught me more than any other thing, your word is your bond. If you say you're going to do it, do it. If you say you're not going to do it, then don't do it. Now, I'd like to tell you that those laws always kept me out of trouble, but there are many times that I used my freedom to choose contrary. I had my first car ever was a 55 Chevy, and it had clutch problems when I first got it, and they didn't get better. And I think that's because when you pop the clutch trying to spin your wheels, it puts too much stress on it. Well, one night I had gone somewhere where I had been specifically told not to go, and my clutch went out. Now, when your clutch goes out in a 55 Chevy, you're not going anywhere. So I had to call my father and tell him where I was, and then he came and got me. I'd like to tell you that that never happened again, but that wouldn't be true either. Another time I slid off and ended in somebody's yard that was being resodded, and I had to do a lot of work to make that straightened out. And well, anyway, I'm not going to give you any more to that story. But the problem is we make bad choices. And so the psalmist, in reminding us of the value of the ordinances and commands of God, is reminding us that God created us to live in such a way that we would be happy and that we would be blessed. And when we made good choices, all those things would happen. But he also reminds us that when we don't make good choices, that forgiveness is available. Lots of people believe that the Old Testament is a lot of law and not a lot of grace. And I will remind you one last time. If you read the book of Isaiah, all 61 chapters, I think, and that might not even be right, it's fairly long, you will see the grace that is already there and the grace that is going to then be made manifest in Jesus Christ. Jesus came not to do away with the law, but to perfect it and to show us how it made a difference in our lives. So from Deuteronomy, you have the command to do right, because before you is blessing and curse, life and death. In the Psalms, you have a reminder that it is good to live by the law. Jesus comes, and in the Sermon on the Mount, or the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, says these kinds of things. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. If you're angry, you'll be liable to judgment. This is extending that fence of protection out a long ways. That if you can stop anger, then you don't ever have to get to the point of murder. I've read some horrendous stories about murders lately that are unimaginable. I mean, they just are. And so you wonder what happened in these people's lives that brought them from innocence, which I kind of think we start out with, to the place where that would happen. Jesus says, just to be angry. So now later on, he gives us ways of dealing with anger and how to get away. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council if you insult somebody else. I don't think I've intentionally insulted anybody in years. Now, I've had people get insulted by things I say, but that's their issue, not mine. That's how I look at that one. But again, these are things that you have. If you're careful with the little things, you go to the big one. Then he says, you will be liable to the councils, and if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Mr. T never read that, I don't guess. Now, you might think, you should think, why is that particular one, that use of that word, so important in this context? Because in the Psalms, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So Jesus is saying that if you liken somebody to being a fool, you're saying that you liken them to someone who does not even believe in God. And so you have cast judgment on that person. If there's one thing that is crystal clear in the scripture, is that none of us is given the freedom to say where anybody else is going to ultimately end up. Now, that's kind of hard for us because sometimes we look at people and go, well, this is a person for whom that other place is tailor-made for. But we're not given that freedom because it's ultimately up to God to decide that. And God says to all of us, based just on what you do and what you think, then you are liable for that judgment. But because of my grace, my loving kindness, my forgiveness, those things will not have to be. So then, when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first to be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. Jesus is saying whenever we take up the offering, we ought to be thinking about, is there anything else I need to be doing in my life? Any other person that perhaps I need to work on the relationship that I have? Jesus says, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and then you shall be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Jesus picks up on this theme in a variety of different ways because he's preaching and teaching in a time where you could be thrown into jail because you owed somebody money. Debtor's prison. I'm a Charles Dickens fan, so I know a little bit about those debtor's prisons and what happens to people that don't have anybody to take care of them. Sadder kinds of stories. I read The Old Curiosity Shop, and I will tell you today that when I think about little Nell dying, it still can bring a tear to my eye. Because I'm a sap sometimes. I'm emotionally weak that I can be torn up by an imaginary character dying. But you see, that's the work of good fiction that makes you feel for the things that are happening. And so in Jesus' day, if you had somebody who was threatening to do that, then you should go to them and try to come to an agreement, try to make a deal, as it were. People oftentimes get in trouble with their credit cards, and they always tell you, if you have a problem, call and talk to them and try to work something out. Because if you ignore a problem, what happens? It just grows and grows. My oldest son was stationed in North Carolina at Fort Bragg. And he got a ticket one day because he was riding with somebody else and he didn't have his seatbelt on. The ticket was for $25. He ignored it. He ignored it. And then one day we get notice in our mail, because he had an Oklahoma driver's license, that said, your driver's license has been suspended. So we call and say, what's going on? And so he explained about the ticket for not having a seatbelt on, and he didn't think it was that big a deal. Well, for want of that $25 ticket, he had to pay penalties on that, and then he had to reapply for a driver's license. I think it ended up costing him about $300. He was stupid. I mean, there's no other word for it. He was just stupid. And it was a stupid choice, and then he had to pay consequences for it along the line. So you see, what God is saying to us is, don't be stupid. Here are the guidelines for life. And if you will live your life this way, it will be good. It will be good. So the question is, which do you want? Blessing or curse? Life or death? Let us pray. Lord, we are so very thankful that Jesus also taught us that you are more than willing to forgive us. Help us to accept your forgiveness, but help us also to make the kinds of decisions that we need to make so that we might not be asking for it all the time. Remind us that even in the Old Testament, you told us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. May we do so this day and all the days ahead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And our final hymn today is number 84, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. 1, 3, and 5.